So I'm going to look at the five niyamas. I'm looking at them partly for their intrinsic merits, and as they've always fascinated me, partly because I've had a series of conversations with Sundarakshita recently, in which he's been wanting to talk about his sort of fundamental conception of the Dhamma, in some ways to correct positions that he's taken in the past, in some ways to take it further. And the niyamas has been the principal vehicle for this. So I'm going to write up these conversations that I've had with him, and they hopefully will be published after Sundarakshita's had a look at them in the next 2 or 3 months when I get time to do it. But in the meantime, I want to sort of preview the conversations that I've had with him, partly to get my own mind engaging with them a bit fuller, more fully. So, hot off the press, although nothing very surprising, but just sort of ways of thinking and talking that are a little bit new. Let's look at the five niyamas. Let's just write them up to start, so you know what they are. So, right at the bottom you've got, I'm going to give you the Pali to say it sounds grander, doesn't it? And then, Putu, Bija, Mano, Kamma, and Dhamma. So, first of all you've got the Utu niyama. Utu means, it sort of really means matter, I suppose, not to put too fine a point upon it. So it's the physical inorganic order of conditionality. The order of reality that is explored in modern science by physics and inorganic chemistry. So the pattern of conditioned arising that we see in matter without any life. So you can see regularities. You can see that, well, for instance, the law of gravity would be a law under the heading of Utu Niyama. So you can see that a heavier body attracts a lighter one to it. So that, you know, if you drop from a great height, you'll fall towards the earth. If you throw a stone up, it'll eventually fall back to earth. So it's the law, the range of laws that govern the behaviour of inorganic matter. Of course, we use this language of governs, law, which can set up the wrong sort of associations in one's mind, because governing demands a governor. So who's the governor? And a law sort of implies a police force and a judge and so forth, but it's not really like that at all. It's more a question of recognizing that there are regularities that are invariable, that always a lighter body will be attracted to a heavier one, ceteris paribus, other things being equal, under normal conditions and so forth and so on. So it's a question of, it's more description, you might say, than, you know, that is implied by the terminology of law. Of course, the description is a description of what happens. So there's something about the way reality is that within a universe of this kind, a stone always falls to the ground. The physical inorganic matter, under certain conditions, forms into complex arrangements which leads to life. And bija, which literally means seed, is the organic order of conditionality. It's what happens when matter becomes organized in such a way that it's, in some sense, living. I'm afraid I haven't thought enough about how one would exactly and precisely define the distinction, but it's broadly the dimension of conditionality that's governed by the, or rather that's described by the sciences of biology, botany, and so on. So you notice there's a sort of progression that the Utu Niyama explores conditionality at the most basic level. It works itself up into organized systems that are in some sense self-replicating, self-feeding, which are organic, living.